Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
So this morning we begin our new series called The Walk, looking at what it means to follow Jesus in such a way that it touches every moment of our lives. Friends, we don't want a faith on paper. We want a faith in action. We want to have a lived faith. We begin with the practice that brought all of us here. To share your faith with someone else is to put yourself in the lineage of all the saints who have gone before us. It is to see all the people as Christ sees them. It is to be like Jesus. The first thing I'm gonna say that you can write down if you want to, you can take notes in our church app if you wanna use that, or you can just put pen to paper, is this. I'm gonna say it a lot and I hope it gets stuck in your head. May we know all the people, so all the people may know Christ. May we know all the people, so that all the people may know Christ. In my journey to become a pastor in the United Methodist Church, I teach at Florida Southern, and so last class that I was teaching, I showed the roadmap in concentric circles of all the steps that it takes to become a pastor in the United Methodist Church. And the circles, they did grow. 13 years, my friends, that it took from the moment that I said, I think I should do this. And 13 years of people checking in to make sure, you know, if you say that God talks to you, we got to make sure that you're not a little crazy, right? And they found that I was the correct amount of crazy. And so they decided to ordain me as a pastor in the United Methodist Church. But one of the circles in that map, one of the steps along the way, is I got to be a chaplain in a hospital. I spent the summer as a chaplain at Advent Health Winter Park. I was in charge of the mother baby unit. And so I, as the chaplain, got to come in and say, how are things going? And for moms to say, please go away. And sure, sounds great. Bye bye. We always went in after the baby was born because we already knew what their prayer request was before. And it was for an epidural. And I wasn't allowed to do those. Not after the first time. And just kidding. But then the other department that I was in charge of was the emergency department. And so I got to meet with folks that were surprised as I was that they were there. And it's tough, friends. I don't know how many of you have ever been a hospital chaplain. It's kind of tough to get that conversation started. Like, are you local? Do you come here often? You can't really lead with that. But the one that I always found was the easiest way to start the conversation was, what brings you in here today? And oftentimes people would say, you know, I fell off my bike, or I needed dialysis, and or you know, I found out, you know, this prognosis or whatever, and we would begin a conversation. But there was a certain group of individuals, and it was men of a certain age, that if I asked, what brought you in here today, they would pause and say, an ambulance. And I'd laugh just like you did, you know? Oh, man. Boy, you sure are clever, Mr. Johnson. Or if I knew things were pretty dire, they would say, my wife made me come in. And that's when I would know, let's pray now, you know? But what brought you here today is the question that I want to ask all of you. And I don't think any of you came in on an ambulance. I did see one motorcycle in the parking lot. Pretty cool. But I want to know what brought you here today. So what I want you to do, I'm going to make you prepare yourselves, introverts. But take a moment, and I want you to turn to a neighbor. Bonus points if it's not your spouse or your parent or someone that you brought along with you today. Turn to a neighbor and tell them, what brought you here today? Who was the first person to bring you to church? Who was the first person to bring you to Shepherd's, or who was the first person to bring you to church at all? Turn to a neighbor and take a minute and discuss. Go. All right. How many of you went to church for the very first time because your mom went to church and you were in her tummy? That was me. I went because Trina was going to church and I was in her belly. And I went for about 9 months, and then I decided to show up in person a little bit later on. Whatever your story might be, you are here because of that moment. I came because, like I said, I was in my mom's tummy. I was in utero in the pew at First Baptist Church of Weymouth, a beautiful fundamentalist Baptist church in Weymouth, Massachusetts. And I have a lot of smells from that time, not when I was a baby, obviously, but as I got older, the smells of a Werther's original, you know, because you always get handed a Werther's original. And it was in my adulthood that I realized it was to keep the mouth closed. It's harder to yap when you've got a Werther's in your mouth. Maybe those little mints, the red and white circular thing. Because it was a fundamentalist church, the smell of a wool suit that hasn't been dry cleaned nearly enough, that sort of musty smell, I still kind of love it. A couple of menthol cigarettes, let's be honest, First Baptist of Weymouth. Those sorts of smells remind me of church. Of course, Dunkin' Donuts, French vanilla coffee, being in Boston. Those sorts of smells remind me of church. And then as I got a little bit older, I went to Vacation Bible School for the church I grew up in. That was actually in my backyard. My sister Nikki was the leader of that Vacation Bible School. It was in my backyard, and they gave us goldfish and Jugga Juice. Do you guys remember Jugga Juice? It's just corn syrup, food coloring, and a little bit of water in a plastic jug. And, you know, that's what reminds me of Jesus. Those moments when my friends were there and other kids were there and my sister told me about Jesus. Those are my memories. And then even further, even before I was born, my grandmother, Alfreda LeBlanc, who was about yay tall and spoke very little English, prayed for me every day. That was the English that she knew. I love you. I pray for you every day. And she told me that anytime I saw her. And I believe that she prayed for me every day. Those were the people that brought me here. Friends, may we never forget, the gospel persists because someone shares it. The gospel persists because someone shares it. May we know all the people so all the people may know Christ. So our passage today is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 23. I'm going to invite you to either take your paper Bible or your digital Bible and open it up. You'll also see it on the screen. Here at Shepherd's, we have a tradition where after the reading of God's word, we say this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Then all of you will say, thanks be to God. But we like to add a little extra oomph on the end, and we add the word woo. So be ready with your woo. Hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus walked along the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. Come, follow me, he said, and I'll show you how to fish for people. Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. He announced the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Woo! Very good. So when we read this passage, when we see this scripture, we see the very beginning of Jesus's ministry. We see how Jesus is introducing himself to the world. And what do we see right at the very beginning? We see that sharing Jesus, friends, it is just not optional. If you want to follow Jesus, sharing your faith is required. Out in the world, here in worship, sharing your faith is required. Friends, today I want you to hear the call from Jesus, the call that I need to hear and I hope you need to hear as well. It is time for us to drop our nets. Let us let go of what is in front of us and begin to call all the people. It is so easy to get stuck in our rut, in our day-to-day lives, to barely survive, to make it to the pillow at the end of the night, and to make it through day-to-day that we can forget the world around us. Peter and Andrew are throwing nets because they think the only thing they're going to do with their lives is catch fish. You know, all of us, we go to our jobs, we work, we are in our community, in our neighborhoods, talking to our neighbors. We think that that is all we're going to do. But friends, it is time for us to drop our nets and realize that we carry a message worth sharing, that the gospel persists because someone shared it in the first place. May we know all the people, so all the people may know Christ. And friends, this is scary. Do you think it was easy for Peter and Andrew to leave the nets behind? Do you think it was easy for the sons of Zebedee to get out of the boat? I think often of Zebedee. He's in the boat repairing the nets, and his two sons take a walk, and he's looking at the nets like, well, this is gonna take me so much longer. Where did they go? Hey, come back. But they're already gone. They've been called to something else, something unknown for the sons of Zebedee. They don't know what is ahead, and this is scary. I make no claims that sharing your faith is easy. Sharing your faith requires courage, and anything worth having requires courage. Anything worth having requires courage. Amen. So you see, we're starting this series called The Walk, where we're going to be reading as a church family a book called The Walk by Adam Hamilton. He's a pastor in the Midwest. And our kids actually made bookmarks for you. So if you've got a book, you've got a very beautiful bookmark waiting for you, and someone will get that to you. We're reading this book because the church that Adam leads sort of realized that their faith was something that they felt in their heart, but they wanted to make it more than just that. They wanted to step out of the boat. They wanted to drop their nets. They wanted to do something with their faith. I grew up in a tradition where evangelism, which is the churchy word for sharing your faith, was the center of all that we did. We were sharing our faith with anyone, oftentimes against their will. You know, you really corner them and get them to confess Jesus is Lord, right? That was the goal. And that was the tradition that I grew up in, and that's so scary and also not effective. We don't do that way. But at the center of who we are as people that follow Jesus and who we are as the people of Shepherds is including people along the way. This week, more than any other week, Facebook is alight with people that are looking for churches. I don't know if just my algorithm knows that I'm going to keep my eyeballs on the screen for a little bit longer if I see a post asking for a church. But people keep moving to Lakeland and people keep moving to Highland City, and they are looking for churches. And it is our job, friends, to drop our rhetorical nets and invite them to come along. More on that in just a moment. May we know all the people, so all the people may know Christ. So you'll see that I'm having you reflect on later in the book. If you already have your book, you'll realize that this is actually chapter 5 of the book. I guess Adam wants me to kind of ease you into sharing, and I'm not going to do that. We're going to jump into the deep end with both feet, okay? But the reason why is because every time I sit down to write my sermon for a Sunday, it's sometimes on a Monday, usually on a Tuesday, sometimes on a Saturday night, when I sit down to put pen to paper or Apple Pencil to iPad to write out the sermon that I feel God is calling me to do. I'm writing it all week, researching, talking to you all, praying about it. But this week, more than ever, I felt the Holy Spirit leaning on me to talk about a problem that we have here at Shepherds that I think that this chapter of the book is going to help us solve. See, a few weeks ago, I confessed that I needed your help. Some of you might be here because I was the face that welcomed you. I was the one that invited you along. Maybe I bought you a cup of coffee or lunch, or we spent some time together and shared what Shepherds is trying to do and how you can be a part of that. And then I was that obnoxious little butterfly that saw you as you walked in, so excited as if you had a $20 bill in your pocket for me. And I shared that connection point. I kept making sure that you knew that if you disappeared, I would notice. Last week I confessed, friends, we have reached the point where we have grown to where I can't be the connection point for everyone any longer. I cannot be the connection point. And friends, here's the problem that I think this chapter will help us solve. Shepherds has become a place where people can disappear. I know not one of you want that. I know I don't want that. I know not one of you want that. But it is possible for someone to come to Shepherds for a couple weeks and hear how we do things differently, feel like they're a part of what it is, and then they begin to suspect, if I stopped coming, who would notice? I'm sure that bearded fella would notice and probably try and get me another cup of coffee or something, or he'd chase me down if he found me in the street, but who else would notice if I disappeared? That is the problem that we have, and I think that this chapter will solve. God did not build me to be a connector. I was not made in a lab in heaven's back gate. I was not created to be this. We learn to connect by being unafraid to be awkward, picking ourselves up, and trying again. Before I became your pastor, I was a youth pastor for 10 years. And friends, my bread and butter was awkward, you know? I was called to love sixth graders. And I have had many a conversation, hour-long conversation about Minecraft with a sixth grade boy. Man, that's not fun. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that. Parents, if you've ever had to feign interest in the Ender Dragon or whatever, and pretending like you know what they're talking about. But friends, that's what I did. And so, yes, I got a couple reps in being awkward. Man, you know, it is not easy to listen to all the drama around high school dating. Actually, that's not true. I would do that part for free. That's pretty great because, man, they're a mess, almost as much of a mess as adults. And, you know, spending that time, being in those awkward moments, I spent many a time in awkward moments letting kids know that if they disappeared, someone would notice, listening to their thoughts on life. No one knows more than a 10th grade boy, listening patiently as they explain the world to you. Wow. Tyler, that makes a lot of sense. Not our Tyler, of course. Tyler Jefferson, he's great. but being in those awkward moments, listening to those things, I want to bring you good news. At no point, though I might have felt like I would, I did not burst into flames. No matter how awkward the conversation got with middle schoolers and high schoolers, I never spontaneously combusted. And if that ever happens to you here because the conversation gets so awkward, someone will put you out eventually, I'm sure. Now, were there moments when I thought, I wish I could dig a deep hole and jump inside of it and just wait until the day passes? Oh, yeah, sure. But you can't dig through this floor anyways. So friends, I want to tell you, I want to encourage you that being willing to be in an awkward moment, sharing a kind word with someone and not being afraid, picking yourself up and trying again will help us know all the people so that all the people might know Christ. So normally sharing your faith is about outside, going into the world, talking to your neighbors, the people that you work with, your people that you meet at your kids' soccer practice, swim practice. That's normally what sharing your faith is about. But frankly, the back door of our church, the way that people are able to slip out and disappear is open enough that we need to start sharing our faith here as well. So I have seen people disappear from these chairs and from the pews of our chapel campus. Friends, will you help me help them know that you will notice? Will you be that person? Will you be that connection point to let them know that if they disappeared next Sunday, you would notice? And how do you do that? It's as simple as inviting them to coffee or lunch or texting them on Saturday night. Hey, I'm going to be at church tomorrow. It will be better with you there. You know the catchphrase already, friends. And as we share that with others, we will help all the people know Christ. So when you talk about sharing your faith, at least for me, it reminds me of those moments when I was in high school and middle school where we would get in a van and we would drive to a place and we would share our faith with strangers. Or we would go door to door inviting people to church, times that did not feel very good. That's not what you want to do when you're a 14-year-old on a Saturday morning, friends. It's really not. But I've begun to see sharing my faith as something else. This week, as I was thinking about sharing and thinking about the first times I was in church, I felt this connection point. The first time you learn how to share is typically kindergarten, right? You're at a table where there's 10 crayons that you've decided are yours, and a new person comes to the table and they want one of the crayons, and you decide, actually, that's not going to happen. I'm going to put all 10 crayons in both hands and begin a new drawing, right? Was that just me? Or was that you too? I think some of you did that. You know, maybe you're more altruistic than I was at 5 years old. My sisters are 10 and 11 years older than me, and so I'm both a baby and an only child, so I'm still learning sharing. When Amanda and I go out to a restaurant and she says, would you like to split a dessert? I say, no. And then I order my own dessert, right? Poor girl. Because you can get your own dessert and I'll get mine. But sharing is a thing that all of us are still learning, and I hope some of you know better than me. So sharing our faith could stop being us telling someone who's never heard about Jesus, but rather inviting them to come along. When you share a dessert, you're sharing in the experience of that chocolate cake. When you share crayons, you're creating more artwork than you would make on your own. When you share a football or a soccer ball or a frisbee, you begin to play a game instead of just being on your own. Now, here's the reality, the scary part. I don't know about you, but there were times when I thought I was going to be playing a football game with other people, and as I throw the ball, they begin to walk away, and now I'm just standing with my imagination instead of a game, right? There might be times when you invite someone into your faith where they decline the invitation, and that might feel a bit lonely, might be a bit embarrassing, a little awkward. But friends, anything worth having takes courage. And I believe we have courage in spades. May we know all the people, so all the people may know Christ. So another part of this book, The Walk, was to set an intention for the church that Adam leads. These five goalposts for the life of the church that he leads. And so when people come to join the church, which we will be having a next steps class as a church in the next couple of weeks. So if you've been here and you're interested in taking that next step in faith, I want you to keep your eyes peeled for that. But when people come to join, when they take the Next Steps class, there are five expectations for members. And the leadership of this church has decided this is something that we are going to be doing now as well. We're going to stop having a faith on paper. We're going to start having a faith in practice. And so one of the expectations is the people of Shepherds share their faith with at least five people every year. The people of Shepherds share their faith with at least five people every year. This will help us know all the people, so all the people may know Christ. So how? Why? How do we share our faith, and why do we share our faith? I love recommending restaurants to other people. If someone comes to Lakeland from out of town and they haven't texted me beforehand and ask the best place to spend their night, I am personally offended. I've decided that I'm actually the mayor of Lakeland, especially if, you know, it's a clergy person from another. I'm like, did you call Charlie Reeb at First Church? You know you need to call me. Anyways, that's more of an inside baseball joke. Anyways, let's keep moving. But I love to recommend a restaurant. I love that feeling of saying, you know, actually, you don't need to go to that place because it's not very good, or you actually, if you come to Lakeland and you don't go to this place, you're going to miss out. If you've been at Shepherd's for longer than a few months, you've heard me talk about the biscuits at Good Time. And friends, I have a major update. Good Time has closed. I know. I'm going to have to research a new biscuit. So if you see me growing on the hemisphere, just know it's for the Lord, okay? And so the biscuits of Good Time are the very best biscuits in Lakeland. They make their own raspberry preserves, and you spread that on the biscuit. It's the best biscuit you can have in town. Too long, we have told people that the way that you invite someone to church is to tell them that they're wrong and they need to be right and they need to come to your church because it's the only place that's going to get them right. What the world needs is for us to say, I have found the good biscuits. They have changed my life. Won't you come and see how good these biscuits are? And no, friends, I am not talking about biscuits. Inviting someone along in your faith, sharing your faith with someone, is as easy as letting them know that you've found a welcome that you've never found at another church, that you have found a church that loves its neighborhood in a way that you have never felt before, that you've been able to put your faith in practice in a way that no church has called you to before. That is what sharing your faith really is. We share what we are known for. Friends, what is Shepherds known for? when I comment on these posts on Facebook, people that are looking for a church, I get to say, we welcome all people and we really mean it. Our mission statement is, with God's help, we embrace and connect with all people. And we put our whole Easter feet and stand with proclamation saying all people, and together experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. That is what we are known for. We're known as the church that in Highland City, we have the Share Shed. If you live in Highland City, you know the Share Shed, man. It's this kind of lean-to, we're working on it. We're gonna make it look a lot nicer, where people come and they bring books. They bring non-perishable food. They bring some clothes sometimes. They also bring mattresses, which please don't bring mattresses to the Share Shed any longer, okay? If you've got a mattress, you deal with it. Don't bring it to the Share Shed. But the Share Shed is a great place for people in need to come and pick up what they want. They get books. They get cans of food. They sometimes get some clothes. It is such a wonderful resource for the people of Highland City. That's what we're known for. And here, we're known as the church that buys all the turkeys from Medilla Elementary's Turkey Trot. We're known as the church that partners with Riley's Reindeers to provide 1,000 Christmas presents for kids in need. That's what we're known for. That's what you get to share about. That's the biscuits that we're cooking. Now, here's some good news. I bring good news about the Lord, but also biscuits, is that Good Time is actually moving. They're going to be selling their biscuits out of Cobb and Penn. So now you can go to Cobb and Penn and get Good Time biscuits. But what if the unthinkable happened? What if you woke up tomorrow and Good Time biscuits disappeared from the earth? What if Olive Garden stopped making their breadsticks? Friends, what if Sonic stopped making cheeseburgers? Can you tell I'm a little hungry? What would it look like if your favorite place stopped making your favorite thing? Let me tell you a little story about Shepherd's. About 5 years ago, we were looking down the barrel as a church at the reality that someday this church would not be here sharing the good biscuits of the Lord. Highlands United Methodist Church just a year ago came to this realization that unless we begin to tell other people of the grace that we have found in this church, we will no longer be a church. Our property will be sold. It'll become an Arby's or a gas station, and people won't have another place to find God's love. May we not be motivated by fear, but may we be energized that will never happen on our watch. May we know all the people so all the people can know Christ. Christ came to heal the world. This is the why. This is why we share. You will heal the world when you share your faith. You will heal the world when you share your faith. I feel like I say this every week, but it's been a hard week for the news. Seeing the events in Minneapolis transpire, seeing all of the pain, the heartache, the very real death that is happening in one of our cities, people becoming opposed to one another based off of fear and some sort of hatred that they haven't worked out within themselves, people identifying others not by what they have in common, but rather what they have different from us. We see people lining up. I have clergy friends that left their churches and went to Minneapolis, and some of them were arrested for standing and protesting, and hearts are being broken. It is so easy. I confessed last week that I sometimes succumb to the sin of despair, where I look at the world around me and I think, well, I guess this is just it. This is the world that we live in. This is the world I brought my kid into. This is the world that we have. But friends, that is why I'm telling you to share your faith. Because I tell you about biscuits, because it's easier to share that than to say. Death is calling for the lives of our neighborhoods, and we get to carry life. That when you see the news stories that make you feel despair, that darkness is winning, just know that when you share your faith, when you invite someone else along, you put death on its back foot, that light will overcome, that the church will prevail. And friends, it is up to all of us. I've also found in my quiet time, in my reflection, that my despair grows as I begin to feel like it is up to me to fix things. The more that I feel that I'm in charge, the more that I feel as if I'm going to fail. And the only thing that gives me hope, the only thing that pulls me back from that great sin of despair, is knowing that I cannot fix this, but knowing that we will. We believe in the holy unified church. That means that when all of us come together with one mission, one hope, and we share it with anyone that will hear, that the world is at stake, and the world will be saved by the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in all of us. Amen. You will heal the world when you share your faith. When you tell someone, come to church at 10:30, I'll save you a seat, you are not just putting another butt in a chair. Instead, you are getting another pair of feet that are going to go out into the world sharing God's grace. May we know all the people so that all the people may know Christ. So I have two action points for you this morning. Two ways I want you to put this sermon into action, not just so that, you know, your life can be more exciting and vibrant, but rather so that our world can be changed and transformed. The first one is this. I want you to be the reason. In just a minute, we're going to come up and we're going to have a remembrance of your baptism. If you've been baptized, you can come here and I'll help you remember your baptism. At the beginning of our service, I said, if you've never been baptized, if you want to come and get baptized, simply say, I've never been baptized, and I will baptize you and we will celebrate for you. I won't carry you around either, like I didn't carry around Finn, but we will celebrate you in that moment. And that will be your opportunity. But when you come up to receive communion or to remember your baptism and get communion, I want you to look around. I want you to find someone that the Holy Spirit is calling you to be the reason they know that they could not disappear. Be the reason that they know that they could not disappear because you would notice them. How do you do that? Well, it's as simple as, like I said, texting them the Saturday night before, inviting them to coffee or get lunch. It has been a very hard week for our nation, for our people. I wonder what it would look like if we became a church that instead of processing our grief or our pain or our fear by arguing with people on the internet, or worse, imploding within ourselves, we found someone else in our community and we talked about it with them, with grace and love and care. That's what it looks like to be the reason someone knows that they could not disappear. And then the second one is five. I want you to begin praying about, thinking about, and meditating on the five people that God has called you to share your faith with. Now, those might be five people that aren't here, have never been here. Bringing them in, letting them know that they can't disappear without you noticing. And it could also be someone here in this room or someone who is not in this room and who you miss. Think of the five people this year you are going to share your faith with, including them along, handing them a crayon or another spoon to eat the chocolate cake of faith, to bring them along. These action steps will allow us to transform our world. May we know all the people, so all the people may know Christ. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.